Good morning. This morning, we're going to be in 2 Timothy. We're going to take a look at some of Paul's last instructions to Timothy before he was martyred and killed. Let's pray real quick and then we'll get into it. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this day and I thank you for all its many blessings. Lord, I just thank you for letting us come here and worship you. I thank you for this building that we get to come to and worship freely, Lord. I just pray that you'll be with me now and just guide my words. And Lord, just use me as you would have me. Just pray that you'll be with all those that are sick. Be with Dallas. Be with Lynn as she takes care of him. And please be with Jamie as she recovers and gets better in the hospital. And Lord, just be with those that I'm forgetting right now. But I thank you for everybody that's here. I pray that you'll just open our minds and our hearts to what you have for us this morning. I love you and I thank you. Amen. All right. So a little background. This is obviously Paul's second letter to Timothy. Timothy is Paul's son in the faith. He's kind of like his right-hand man. And Timothy learned directly under Paul. Paul discipled him and taught him, you know, how to go about and be a missionary and pursue his own ministry and plant churches. We'll get into a little bit more of the background in just a minute, but let's go ahead and read through it. 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. I'm reading from the CSB translation. Derry has a different one because the software didn't have this one, but it's close. So just follow along. Verse 1 says, "You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the commanding officer. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to get a share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." So unlike the first letter to Timothy from Paul, this letter is not full of a lot of hope. The first letter to Timothy was written while he was under house arrest, but Timothy knew he was going to, Paul knew that he was going to be freed at some point. This second one, Paul is writing from basically the basement of a Roman jail, and he knows his death is right around the corner. So this is pretty much Paul's last correspondence to Timothy to instruct him to move forward with the ministry and spreading the gospel to those that have never heard it before. You see, at this point, Paul was the tip of the spear for the Christian movement and the spread of the gospel. So with him close to passing away, he is essentially passing the baton to Timothy to say, this is what you need to do. And he's encouraging him and, you know, just pouring out everything he has learned through his suffering and persecution because he knows Timothy's going to face the same thing. So that's where we're at. So he's basically turning over the leadership role to Timothy. So we're going to walk through this. We're going to unpack it verse by verse. This is a little bit different than what I've done in the past, so bear with me. I'm learning as I go. So the first two verses and verse 7, so the first two and then the last one of what we're looking at are like a general, kind of a more general advice. But then 3 through 6 give us very very descriptive examples of things that we can relate to. So as we read, you know, we're going to look at the soldier and the athlete and the farmer, see how those things can apply to us. So verse 1 says, "You," speaking to Timothy, "therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." In chapter 1, which we hadn't read through, Paul tells Timothy that he shares with him that a lot of people that he's taught and ministered to and discipled have abandoned him, mostly in Asia. So he's warning Timothy to be strong, but not to look for his strength in other people, to only look for his strength in Christ. You see, all the people in this church that I trust and I love and I care about, Liam raised his hand, obviously. No matter how strong of a person you are or how strong my relationship with you is, I can't fully trust my strength in you, even Lori, even my own mom, because the things of this world are going to let us down at some point, whether intentional or unintentional. The things of this world are still going to, they're going to disappoint us. So we have to be sure to lean on Christ for our strength. And that strength that nobody can take away from us and that we can't find from anybody else. And that's what Paul is encouraging Timothy to do, to make sure, yes, you're surrounded by good people, but make sure your strength comes from the Lord. And let's don't be fooled either. The closer we walk with God, the closer we grow to Him, the more we learn, we need more strength, because the devil's going to attack us stronger and stronger and stronger the closer he sees us getting to God. Matthew Henry's commentary on this verse is quoted as this. It says, "Our trials increase. We have need to grow stronger and stronger in that which is good. Our faith stronger, our resolution stronger, our love to God and Christ stronger." So guys, as we walk and as we grow, don't think that it gets easier and easier. God doesn't tell us that. It's going to get tougher. But if our strength is rooted in Christ, we know He's going to be there, even through the tough times. Verse 2 says, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Here, Paul is encouraging Timothy to take what he has taught him and to pass it along to other people. But to be careful and pass it along to those that he knows are going to hold Scripture and truth as pure and holy as the Bible should be held. And to pass it along to those that are willing and capable of teaching and pass it along to other people. You see, this is the same process that Jesus used with the apostles, and the same process that Paul used teaching other people to send them out as missionaries and church planters. You surround yourself with these people and pass along what God has given us to others, and it just keeps multiplying and multiplying and multiplying, and the good news of the gospel keeps spreading. And don't, like I did for so long, don't believe the lie that you're not a teacher. Because God's given each one of us sitting here, and everybody that's not here, a specific set of skills, traits, to be able to pass along something to somebody else. And if you'll look and open your eyes, you're given an opportunity probably daily to teach somebody something and apply it to the gospel and share that with them. But don't believe that lie. If you're sitting here just to sit here, and that's as blunt as I can put it, there's something more to be done. And there's something more that God has in mind for you to do. So don't believe the lie, because y'all, I did. I didn't think I was capable. I didn't think God could use me. I didn't think I could get over my fear of standing up here. If I can do it, anybody can do it. Because I ain't special. All right, 3 and 4. This is where we're getting to the examples. It's kind of the meat of it. It says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of civilian life. He seeks to please the commanding officer. Let's look at a few words that describe a good soldier. And I put slash warrior. I like the word warrior a little better. It's a little more aggressive. But a good one. Because just because you're in the military don't mean you're a good soldier. There's good and bad in everything. But those words that would describe a good soldier and warrior, and these are just the list I come up with, would be disciplined, trained, courageous, selfless, strong, goal-oriented, and loyal. You see, just as it says in 3 and 4 here, a good soldier's job is to always please his commanding officer. Regardless of what else is going on around him, that's his job. Our job as born-again Christians, if we've accepted the good news of the gospel, our job is to wake up and do our best to please God every day. Because when we chose to follow him, he enlisted us in his army to wake up and do our best to beat back Satan every day. The biggest thing that separates a real soldier from just an ordinary civilian is his willingness to give his life for someone or something else. The apostles did that. Jesus did that. I'll get a little deep here, make you think. Ask yourself a real question, though. If our country, which it's in a different time right now, but if our country turned into something that we see in the Middle East, where you can't worship Jesus like you want to, and you can't come to church on a Sunday morning and sing and pray in public, if we turned into that, if it came down to it, and somebody asked you what you believed in, and asked you to stand on your faith, would you stand on it? In the face of death, would you stand on it? Takes a lot of thinking. And I guess we wouldn't know until we're in that position. Hopefully we never have to be. Soldiers are asked and required to put up with a lot of discomfort and sacrifice. in today's world of political correctness and safe spaces and a lot of other stuff that I don't understand, I think we're getting to a point in general where we don't like to be uncomfortable, where we don't like to sacrifice. Guys, God didn't call us to be comfortable. I'm not comfortable getting up here still, and I've been up here quite a bit now. I'm still not comfortable. My voice shakes when I first get up here, and it takes me about 5 minutes to settle in. I'm very uncomfortable. Them youth kids that get up here singing, they're uncomfortable. I know they are, because I know them very well. But God didn't call them to be comfortable, and they're willing to get up here and get over it, and they're working on it. So like a good soldier and a good warrior, we have to be willing to put up with a little discomfort, to step out of our comfort zone, talk to somebody, talk to them about Jesus, tell them about your testimony, share with them. I don't care if it's somebody you know or somebody you ain't never met in your life. Step out and do it. Verse 5 says, also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So an athlete shares most of the same attributes as a soldier. Athletes are very disciplined, they're very trained, and there's good ones and there's bad ones. Some just show up and get by on talent, and some work their heinies off and can't even beat the talent. but Paul says here in verse 5, he says that the only way that that athlete's crowned is if he plays by the rules. You see, athletes have a more of a visible goal in mind than a soldier does. Athlete has a medal or a prize, maybe a check, maybe a belt, you know, anything. They're going to get something at the end of it if they win. You know, that's their end goal. But if they don't play by the rules, that can be taken back. Who knows who Barry Bonds is? Not a few people in here does. Barry Bonds has hit more home runs in Major League Baseball than anybody else. He beat Hank Aaron, that had 755. However, Barry Bonds decided to go a different route. And any baseball people with knowledge know that Barry Bonds didn't go about it the right way. And they also know, they'll admit that he was a great hitter. I'll tell you right now, he was one of the best, if not the best, hitter ever. He's in the top five. But he'll always have an asterisk beside his 762 home runs because he decided to use a chemical to enhance his performance. A chemical that didn't make him hit the ball more often, because you can't teach that, but it made him hit it harder and further. And it made him recover faster. And it's also the only thing that makes your skull grow after you're an adult. It's a fun fact. But as great as he was, he will never get the credit that he thinks he should deserve, that he deserves, because he decided to cheat. Hank Aaron did it the right way. When the baseballs didn't even fly as far, and the bats weren't that great, he still hit 755. But Bonds will never get the full credit of being the home run king. It's because he cheated. So guys, God wants us to run our race, and he wants us to run it hard, and he wants us to run it well. But we have to do it according to his rules and his will. There's no skirting around on this one. You can't take a chemical or cheat to live according to God's will and please Him more than you can just by being you. You got to do it according to His rules. All right, verse 6. This one is very relatable. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to get a share of the crops. The way it's worded is not exactly like the meaning of what it meant. I had to dig around a little bit for this one. More than any of these, though, in our church, shouldn't be real hard to explain the importance of farmers and farming and how we can apply what farmers do to our walk with the Lord. Some words to define a farmer. My first one is patient. Did I get that right? Probably. Patient, faithful, extremely hardworking, and selfless. You know, most people only know what they see about farmers. They see what they ride around and see in the fields. And it's pretty, like the farmer, the plants and the tractors out there mowing or planting. I mean, it's a cool process to see. But most people in general don't really understand the everyday life and the everyday inner workings of what a farmer does. I'm lucky enough that I get to see a tiny little bit of it through Frankie, and it is serious, very serious. And we have multiple people that not only farmers but work in agriculture, period, and it applies, whether it's cows, anything. But we have a lot of farmers here, so this one really applies. The main thing you need to notice, though, is even though when you don't see the tractors in the fields or the plants in the ground, I promise you, that farmer ain't sitting on his butt doing nothing. There's always something to be done. Or redone. Farmers do a lot of work 2, 3, 4 times. And it's got to be frustrating. But guys, there's always something to do. We can apply that to our everyday continual growth and our everyday walk with the Lord. There's always, always, always something to do. Whether it be studying, whether it be praying for yourself, for other people, there's always something to do. The main point Paul is making to Timothy here, though, is that the farmer has to prepare and work for months and months and months and months and months, and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And he don't get to see the fruits and the blessings of his harvest until the end. It takes a long time through a lot of hard work, sweat, tears, stress. They have to be patient. They have to work and put in the time to eventually see what they've worked for at the end of the year. As Christians, we also have to put in the time to grow. We got to put in the time for ourselves to grow personally. And we also are called to put in the time to help others grow. That's the whole point of it. We're not on an island by ourselves as Christians. We are meant to bring other people to our island and share with them what we have. We can know everything that this book has to say. We can quote it from front to back and back to front, backwards. But if we don't take it and share it with other people and love on people, we've missed. Dallas preached about this a little while back when he's talking about fertilizer and growth and everything. We have to fertilize and grow our relationship on a daily basis, on a regular basis, in order to eventually see the blessings that God has for us. God don't like halfway. He wants all of us. And for us to see like the full measure of what God has in store for us and what the blessings that God has in store for us, if we'll give Him everything we got, we'll see those blessings. And I don't know what they're going to look like, but you'll know when you get them, and you know when you'll see them. But we have to put that time in. Verse 7, last one. It says, consider, or think about, or contemplate. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. This is neat. Y'all listen. I stole it. I don't even know who I stole it from. I stole it. I'm not smart enough to come up with this. The Greek word muse means to think. So he told Timothy to think. If you place a negative A in front of the word muse, it becomes a muse, which means to not think. So when you go to a movie for entertainment purposes and to be amused, you don't think about work. You don't think about the stress of your life. You think about the movie. It ain't got nothing to do with you. It don't matter what goes on in it. You see, Satan has a really good trick and a really good tool to keep us entertained and amused all day long. And he does it with that little thing sitting in your pocket right now. And everything else. He does it with a really busy, rushed life that keeps you busy, keeps you not focusing on him. And endless mind-numbing entertainment that absolutely means nothing. And it's all in an effort to keep from Christ being at the forefront of our minds. It all gets in the way of it. It all blurs it. So here Paul is telling Timothy to think about what he's told him. Think about what he's taught him. And to carry it all and share it with other people. And God will supply the understanding of it. That's not my business. That's not your business. God's just asked us to go and share it. He does the rest from there. We plant the seed. He provides the understanding. I'll put it this way. Don't you think the God that provided us the good news of the gospel would also supplement this gospel and everything inside of it with the understanding that we need to get what it's saying to us? He's not just going to give it to us, y'all, and say good luck. Jesus didn't die on the cross and say good luck. He's still here. He's in every single word of this Bible. And he lives inside of us. You hear it said all the time, I've said it before, mainly before I believed that I was capable of doing this, that this book right here was a really hard read. Everybody in here probably has either said that or heard somebody say, man, the Bible's a hard read. I don't understand it. I mean, it's just tough. I agree. But there's a lot of tools that go with it. Study it. Contemplate on it. Pray to God for the understanding of what He's saying to you through it. He'll give you what you need. He always does. God always supplies us with it. And here we're talking about supplying us with the understanding of everything we need that He gives us. So in closing, kind of fast. In closing, let's try to remember Paul's encouraging words to Timothy, as if he's talking directly to us. Let's try to remember that we are all capable of being teachers and making other teachers. And y'all, there's somebody in here right now. I promise you, because I know how it feels. And I remember sitting in the back and chilling out and just being here to be here. There's somebody sitting here right now. You ain't talking to me, Adam. I ain't talking to you. God is. There's somebody sitting here that's going, I ain't a teacher and won't never will be. Don't say never. Don't say never. Let's remember that we should all wake up with the mindset of a soldier or a warrior and do our best to beat back Satan every day. God's already beat him. As long as you've already accepted Christ as your Savior, the battle's already won. We just got to beat him back from letting him affect us. Be disciplined. Be courageous. Be like the athlete. We got to follow God's rules. We got to follow His plan, because our plan might as well be thrown in the trash. Mine was a long, long time ago. I thought I'd be playing baseball still right now. Didn't happen, did it? We got to make sure, just like the athlete, there's an end goal in mind, and we got to play by God's rules every day to reach that end goal, to do what He wants us to do. And the farmer, be patient. You ain't gonna read the Bible in a day. You ain't gonna figure out the Bible in a day. It's a continual growth process. And you keep working at it and working at it and working at it. And then one day you might wake up and say, I know everything I need to know. And then He's going to make you realize that you don't know nothing. And then you're going to learn more. You'll never stop learning. I don't care. I don't care if you're Liam or I ain't going to pick on nobody for being old today. Or Aunt Lynette, I will. I'll pick on you. You're the oldest person in the building right now. I don't care how old you are. You'll never, ever, ever stop learning. He will continue to show you something new that you can use for His glory every single day. Just open your eyes. Open your eyes and look for it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank You again for allowing us to be here, Lord. I just pray that if anybody here today is looking for a relationship with You, Lord, I pray that if anybody is searching and looking for answers, Lord, that they'll come forward and we can talk. Lord, I just pray that you'll be with those that are suffering and going through rough times. I pray that you'll be with them, Lord. Lord, just ask that you go with us and keep us mindful of you, Lord. Keep us mindful of the words that you have taught through these scriptures, and help us to remember the teacher and the soldier and the athlete and the farmer. And Lord, just remember how we can apply those things to our lives so that we can do your work, and be better servants of you, Lord. Lord, just ask you all these things in Christ's name. Amen.